All right, good evening. Good to see you out this evening. And as Pastor Chris mentioned, praise the Lord for air conditioning, right? Beautiful evening to be indoors here and worship together. We do have a few announcements. Want to update you on there in your prayer bulletin. And so want to point these out. First of all, September the 7th, we have a gospel blitz on Saturday morning, the 7th there. So make note of that. That's a great opportunity for families to come. And we'll have a breakfast that morning and invite folks out to our church and just do door hangers there. We have some special meetings coming up there in the middle of September, especially September 15th. We have evangelist Jim Van Gelderen here. And we want to really get the word out for folks for that Sunday. And then we have what we call the War of Special Forces, a teen revival that week. The focus is on Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and we are just excited to see what God is going to do that week. And so I want to be praying for this here this evening and in the days to come, but also just getting the word out as well. And so great opportunity for families, and kids love to do the gospel blitz. They are some of the best messengers there. They are often fast. When we used to bring our kids when they were younger, they were faster than I was. And so great opportunity there to minister as a family. Also, the couples retreat, just keep that in mind. There's information there in the bulletin. And then September 22nd, we have a special family friend day on that Sunday as well. So we just want to point out those details. We do have an update on some prayer requests here, which we'll share. In your prayer bulletin, there is an update from the folks in Fiji. And so there's a sheet of paper there with a printout just kind of updating on some of the events that are taking place there. And I actually have a more recent update that was called in just today. I know my wife and Rebecca were communicating today, so I want to update you. Yesterday, there were 8 to 10 teens, somewhere in there, that responded to Pastor's message for salvation at the camp. And so just rejoicing in these decisions that were made by these kids. And so, Pastor, just pray for Pastor. He's preached 6 times already, and he has 9 more times to go. And so just pray for his voice and just for strength. Just really, they see God's working, and that's, I believe it's the result of answered prayer and God's power there. And so please keep praying for the Hamiltons, the Inges, and the Abbeys there in Fiji. And then Francis Deku is expecting next month. And I know they've had some hardships with some pregnancies there in the past. So be sure to pray for Josh and Francis and the safe delivery of this little one as well. You have your prayer bulletin. We have some other updates, though, you'll want to make note of here this evening. Mrs. Rakes, Arliss Rakes, I know we had reported she had fallen last week, and it was a praise. She went to the doctor. There were no broken bones. However, she called the church today, and she fell again yesterday, and it was a pretty serious fall there, and she hit her head, and so she's sore, her back and her elbow. And so continue to pray for the Rakes, pray for wisdom and healing and just encouragement as they continue to plan for the days ahead. And then I know, and there was an email sent out to our church family, and regarding Jenny LaFocade. Her mom lives in New York, and was hit by a car Sunday afternoon or evening there. And so Jenny went up to New York Sunday night, and her mom did pass away then this morning, early this morning. They took her off life support. And so just pray for Jenny. Chauncey is a young man in our school. Jenny usually sits back in this section. She's here faithfully Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and just growing in the Lord. But this is a difficult thing. And so let's just pray for Jenny and for her family. We do not have any details on funeral arrangements or anything at this time. And then some updates from last week and just from our church family there. I know Brian Page's dad there is listed there. Al Page, he started his series of shots. He gets a shot every 6 months, and that'll be for the next 2 years. And so just pray for him as they are running more tests regarding the cancer. But pray for Al Page and his battle there with cancer. Pray for Heather Bauer's dad. He was taken to the hospital this weekend and still in the hospital and just adjusting to the CPAP machine with his sleep. And so just pray for Heather's dad at this time, and specifically his breathing and his heart. And then Kathy Kramer. We want to pray for Kathy. It's a praise. She passed her stress test yesterday so she can stay on the potential transplant list. But at the same time, she was given medicine and it made her quite sick. And I know Roger is here this evening. Great to see Roger. But we need to continue to pray for Kathy. I know she was at the doctor there today and doing some tests and treating her and home now but tired out. And so, yes, Roger, give us an update. Yes, and pray for Roger too. That's right. That's great as he is caring for Kathy and want to bear each other's burdens there. And so pray for Kathy this evening as well. So these are some updates, and then of course we have the ones in our prayer bulletin here. But any other items you would like for us to pray for here this evening and this week? I want to take any other prayer requests here. All right. I want to make sure I don't miss things. Very good. Well, let's go to the Lord and get together in prayer, remembering some of these needs at this time. But take your list and please be praying for these things throughout the week and just for God's working. And so let's bow together in prayer at this time. Our Father, just as we bow before you this evening, Lord, we just praise you for your goodness. Lord, we praise you for who you are. We thank you that our hope is in you. It's not in ourselves. Lord, we're sinners. So thankful for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses us from every sin when we place our faith and trust in you. And Lord, we just thank you for the confidence we can have in you. And Lord, as we just bring these requests before you, I think of Jenny's family up there in New York. And I just pray for comfort for them. Just so much has happened so quickly here. And just pray for your peace at this time, your supernatural peace. And just work. May your name be glorified through this. And Lord, I pray for, I know Jenny's husband is unsaved, Lord. I just pray that you would work in his life and draw him to yourself through this. And pray for Chauncey. Give Chauncey comfort. And may their faith be strong. And just use this, even the death of this person, for your glory. Lord, bring people to Christ. Lord, we just pray for the family at this time. We pray for Kathy Kramer this evening and just for rest for her and recovery and strength. And Lord, just pray for Roger and Kathy just for help during these difficult days. And Lord, we pray that you would just provide a kidney transplant for Kathy. And we just lift her before you and pray for her at this time. Lord, we pray for Mr. Bowers. And Lord, I just pray that you would continue to help him and strengthen him. And I just pray that he would adjust to this sleeping breathing apparatus. And Lord, I just pray that you would meet his needs today and just pray for the Bowers family as they care for him there in Ohio. Lord, I just pray for his special needs. I pray for Al Page as well in his battle with cancer. And Lord, I just pray that his body would react well to these treatments. And Lord, that you would heal him. Lord, we just pray for you to meet their needs there. Lord, we do pray for the group that is in Fiji. And just as they are ministering for you there, many miles away, I just pray that you would use them. Just give open doors, work in hearts, draw people to yourself. Lord, I just pray for just your supernatural working there and saving more souls. And Lord, I just pray that you would use Pastor as he is preaching much. We pray for our group there. Keep our group healthy. Just give Pastor the strength that he needs. Give the whole group the strength they need. May they be an encouragement to the Dekus. I pray for the Dekus with this pregnancy. And Lord, just continue to pray for a safe delivery there. I want to continue to pray for Jonathan and Jaira here, just for a safe delivery for their twins as well, in your perfect timing. Lord, for the services this evening, we have the Spanish ministry downstairs, we have the teens, we have the youth. Lord, I pray for each part of our service here this evening and as we meet in here. I pray that you would be glorified. I pray that our hearts would be encouraged, our faith strengthened. Lord, if there's someone here who needs to make some things right with you this evening, Lord, I pray that you would just work in their hearts as only you can. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Brother Chris, please come.
Amen. Well, we will continue our singing tonight, number 262. A reminder, we walk in the footsteps of Jesus in this life. So 262, we'll sing the first verse, then take some time to fellowship with one another, then come back and sing the last. Let's stand as we sing Footsteps of Jesus.
Sweetly have we heard thee calling, come follow me. And we see where thy footprints falling lead us to thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go.
Take some time, fellowship with those around you tonight.
I was just given some other news that the Piggotts had their baby over the weekend. So congratulations to Adrian and Megan Piggott on the birth of their daughter, Lucy, what was the name?
Isabella.
Isabella Piggott. And so congratulations to the Piggott family. So rejoicing with them. Every time I get up here, I start turning your Bibles. We're going to do something a little different tonight. We are going to turn in our Bibles in just a little bit. But not first thing, because I don't want to give anything away. We do have some special guests here tonight. And so thankful to have some different folks here this evening visiting. First of all, I had a chance to meet Gigi down front here. Gigi, thank you for coming. Great to have you here. And my son has a special guest there. Gary is with him. And so thankful for Gary. And also, beside my wife is Jeanette, a dear friend we met not long ago, and so thankful they came tonight. So thank you for coming this evening. Great to have you folks here, and good to see some other guests here as well this evening. Sorry I didn't get a chance to meet everyone there, but great to have these special folks with us. Well, we are a week and a half into the school year, and an exciting time of the year with many, many kids around. You know, last week, many parents sent college students off. We've been praying for our college students that have traveled off all over the country, many different places. A few have come into us here, but many of our kids have gone off. We have one who has gone off to college for her third year of college. You know, as a parent, when you send your first child off to college, that is a major milestone as a parent. You know, you have them for 18 years, and then you send them off for the first time. It's a change. It's a change. Once they go off, it's like life changes. It's never quite the same again. I remember when we took Samuel down to Florida when he went to college. And You know, we were excited, get them all settled in there. And then as we were about ready to drive off, it hits you. And it's like, you see, we were watching all the freshmen come out of this meeting, and we see Samuel and kind of the deer in the headlights look. You're like, are they going to make it? Then you look around, every one of them has the same look in their eyes. But, you know, as a parent, that hits you, your first child. And Jen and I were both bawling. I mean, it was just, you know, I can't believe it. We're at this stage. And then Charity, a couple years ago, you know, she went off for the first time. And, you know, you send your first daughter off. And that's hard. But it didn't, you know, we're a little more seasoned by now. You know, by the time Elena gets there, we may just send her off. Okay, we'll see you later. See you at Christmas. But it's amazing as you send your child off for the first time. But as parents, we all desire for our kids to be successful, for our kids to prosper in what they do, to succeed. So I have a question for you this evening. If I was to ask you, what is the key to a child being successful? Is there one key more than others that will make them successful? We have parents here who have very young kids. Some of you are saying, we're grandparents, this isn't for us. Oh wait, this will apply to all of us. But as you think about this, what is the one key, is there one more than any other that would make my children successful? You know, as I think about this, being a principal, education has to come up, right? Is one of the ideas. Education. Education's important. I think it's very important. I believe a good education is such a blessing to have. Will education guarantee success for my kids? It's amazing what people invest in education nowadays. I was working with a student a couple of years ago who was transferring from here to a boarding school up in Massachusetts. Are you ready for this? A high school that costs like $84,000 a year for a high school. that's a little steep. That's a lot of investment there. You know, if I send my child to a school like that, does that guarantee that they're going to be successful? Well, no. Education's important. How about opportunities? You know, the more opportunities a child can experience, the more opportunities we give them to enjoy, to take advantage of, the better chance they'll have of succeeding, of prospering. How many parents spend many years and much money running their kids here and there and everywhere? And there's, you know, there's nothing wrong with these things. But you kind of go down the list, a lot of parents run their kids to soccer practice, or to ballet, or to basketball, or to swimming, or gymnastics, taekwondo, music lessons, art lessons, the list goes on and on. You know, many opportunities for kids, good opportunities. If I give my child many opportunities, will that make them successful? Well, not necessarily. How about social skills? How about if personality, if I work with them on their personality so that they just thrive socially, will that make them successful? How about if I teach them to be disciplined, self-motivated, self-driven? Surely, if they are self-driven, self-disciplined, they will be successful, right? But you know what? That doesn't guarantee success. How about financially savvy? You know, setting them up so they're smart with money, so they know how to save, they know how to invest, they know how to support themselves. You know, I know of a couple families who have pushed their kids, as kids, you've got to start your own business. I knew a man in Indiana. He made all his kids start some business of their own while they were kids, whether it was mowing, whether it was making something. He wanted to teach them to be business savvy, financially savvy. And you know, all these are good things. And a number of these things will help kind of determine their ceiling or their potential. I mean, their education, their training, their opportunities, many different things. But you know what? None of these things guarantee success, prosperity, or whatever you want to say, just that they will thrive. But as we think about these things, my question is, so what does God say about this matter? Does God say, there is a key that will help me make my kids successful, or make me successful, make each of us successful? And so I want you to take your Bibles tonight. I want you to think about that. Wouldn't it be great if we could have God speak to us tonight, right here directly? I'd love it if we could turn on, you know, if God would just speak to us audibly, right? Wouldn't that be awesome? But God does want to speak to us this evening. And how does He want to speak to us? Through His Word here this evening. So take your Bibles and turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 as we get started. You know, God did communicate to Joshua how he could be successful. And I know this, if I would have told, have you turn to Joshua chapter 1, some of you would have been thinking ahead of time, you would have known where I was going with this. But as we think about this, let's listen in to this conversation that God had with Joshua as he was calling him. So Moses has just died. It says here, verse 1, after the death of Moses, God comes and communicates with Joshua. And he tells, you know, Moses, my servant, is dead. It's basically, it's time for you to step up, Joshua. And God tells him to be strong and of a good courage. He's not going to fail him. But look with me down in verse 7. Notice what he says here. He says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Notice what God is instructing Joshua. Hey, be strong of a good courage, but notice this, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Hey, right here, God's word, you make sure you follow this. Look at verse 8 there. Don't let this book depart out of thy mouth, but meditate therein day and night. Think about this. Meditate on this, that thou mayest observe and do according to all that's written therein. Then you're going to be prosperous. Then you're going to have good success. Now, with this in mind, flip over with me to Psalm, the book of Psalms, chapter 1. I want to look at another passage along the same lines. Familiar passage once again, Psalm chapter 1. Notice the first few verses here of Psalm 1. Notice what God tells us here. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And notice, what's the result of this going to be? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But notice this, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Folks, God says, if we delight in the law of the Lord, we meditate on it, we obey it, you see what's going to happen? We will succeed. We'll be like a tree planted by a river, a strong tree that brings forth its fruit in a season. You know, that's what I desire for my kids. That's what I desire for me. So what is the key? The key is this book. The key is not necessarily education. You can get the best education from the best school, but that doesn't guarantee success. But hey, we obey God's word. We live according to God's word. We meditate on God's word. God says, you'll be successful. So let's take a look here. Let's take a look. Let's talk about this great book tonight. We have the privilege just to look. What does God say about God's word, about the Bible, about His word? You know, back before I became a principal, I was teaching. And so during the summers, we had about 12 weeks during the summer. I would work about 10 of those weeks. I worked at a small factory warehouse distributing place. And so I'd work in the warehouse, or I helped them with maintenance. I did a variety of odd jobs for them. So one summer I was working in the warehouse, and there were a couple of us working back there. There was a man named Curtis. So Kurt and I worked together. Kurt was an interesting fellow. He had a ponytail back, you know, down to his belt there in the back. He smoked, I don't know how many cigarettes a day. He lived with his girlfriend. He was an interesting character, kind of the hippie idea. And so we had a lot of interesting discussions. Kurt and I had spent some time unloading trucks together. And we would talk about all kinds of things. I invited Kurt to church repeatedly, and he said, you know what, if I came in and showed up in church, you know, with my ponytail and everything, he said, they would think I was Jesus, because you see all the paintings of Jesus with the long hair, you know, the artist. And so Kurt's, I'm like, I don't think they'll get you confused, Kurt, we'll be okay. But we had great discussions. And one time we were unloading a truck, and this was kind of earlier on, and Kurt looked at me and said, so tell me, what is the Bible all about? Now last week, Pastor was asking us questions, right? He was putting us on the spot. We were supposed to answer questions. That was a great question that Kurt asked. How would you answer that? You know, it's one of those questions put right on the spot. Okay, how do I encapsulate in just a few minutes what the whole Bible is about? I mean, I could start in Genesis, go through Revelation, expound. It was a big truck to unload. But you have this opportunity with his attention. And you think about that. So what is this book all about? What is the Bible all about? Well, you know, the first thing this is all about, it tells us the keys we need to know for life. You know, as we think about this, first of all, it tells us how things began. Today I was in the preschool, K-4. It was Bible time. They were learning their first Bible verse of the year, Genesis 1:1. Actually, I had pulled Mrs. Vasquez out, so Mrs. Purdue stepped in and was teaching them, I think, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Right there, first verse of the Bible tells us where we came from. Turn with me over to John chapter 1, if you would please. John chapter 1. And this passage you're familiar with, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Talking about the Lord Jesus there. It says, verse 3, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So the Bible clearly teaches us where we came from. One of the key answers to life. The Bible clearly teaches us who God is. Hey, God has always been. No one had to create God. God has always been. He is eternal. He's the Alpha and the Omega. We learn so much about God. This is how God reveals Himself to us, one of the ways. In Romans, it also tells us, hey, every man sees God because of creation. Creation screams the glory of God. He also puts a conscience in us. Down deep inside, every man really knows there has to be a God. Even if they deny it outwardly at times. Okay, so we see who God is. So we see where we came from. We see who God is. You know what else we see in the Bible? We see who man is. In Romans, we're told, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Romans 5:12, wherefore by one man, by Adam, sin entered into the world. And death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You know, that's bad news. But it's so important for us to understand that I am a sinner. I was born as a sinner. And sin separates me from God. God is holy. God has never sinned. But you know what? There is good news. And we see that here in John 1. Verse 12, it says this, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. If you flip over just a few pages, John chapter 3 and verse 16, one of the most familiar verses in Scripture, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Do you know God loves us so much that even from the beginning He had the plan to deal with our sin? His plan was to send His Son, His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to this earth to die for our sin on the cross. He shed His blood for my sin, for your sin. They laid Him in the tomb. He arose the third day. That is the gospel. That whosoever believeth on Him, when we place our faith and trust in Him, when we say, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, if we acknowledge Him, I am a sinner, and my only hope is to be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? He will save us. That is how we can become a child of God. Hey, what is the Bible all about? It tells us the beginning. It tells us who God is. It tells us who man is. It tells us how we can be right with God. Can I share one more thing about what the Bible says about just these basics of life we need to know, though? He tells us what's going to happen in the future. Right here in God's Word. Flip over just a few chapters further. John chapter 5. Another great verse, John 5. What's going to happen in the future? How is everything going to end? God loves us enough to tell us, to give us details. The Lord Jesus is teaching here. John chapter 5, verse 28. He says, "Marvel not at this." Remember the questions Pastor was asking us last week? Remember, what if someone doesn't believe there's a resurrection? What if someone doesn't believe there's life after death? Well, here's what God tells us. "Marvel not at this," verse 28 of John 5, "for the hour is coming in the which," what is the next word there? The next word is, come on, say it out, "all." Catch us. What is coming? "The hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear His voice and shall come forth." Do you know there is going to be resurrection? Everyone is going to be resurrected someday. All. Not half, not part, all. All right? Now catch this. "And they shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." You see, if we look further in Scripture, in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 6, it talks about there's actually going to be two resurrections. Okay, first is the resurrection we're told about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The believers, those who have trusted Christ, those who are righteous because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Not because I deserve heaven, but because of what Jesus did for me, and I've trusted in Him. Hey, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those who are alive and remain, those Christians, those believers, they're going to be caught up together with Him. The first resurrection, the resurrection unto life. But you know what? There's another resurrection that's going to take place. And that's what's described here in John chapter 5. And in Revelation 20, it talks about this. Those who have died, who have rejected Christ, they're going to be resurrected as well, but resurrected to be judged for their sin because they did not accept God's free gift of salvation through the Lord Jesus. And that judgment is going to be eternal separation from God, eternal death, and they will be cast into the lake of fire because of the sin, the price for our sin. You see, it's all right here in the book, in God's book. Aren't you thankful for God's Word and the clear teaching, the clear instruction for us? Hey, it's here in God's book. That is what the Bible is all about. So the first thing, it has the answers for life. Do you know the next thing though? This book is eternal. We are told in, turn back with me now to Psalm 119. And that's where we'll be the rest of the time here. Psalm 119. If you want to turn back there, open your Bible right about to the middle and you'll be in Psalms and then Psalm 119. I don't know if you've ever bought a brand new car. We I had never had a brand new car till we were married. The Lord kind of miraculously provided a brand new car for us as we were expecting Charity. I love the smell of a brand new car. Do you enjoy that? So you either like it or you don't, right? And there's nothing like it. But you know what? I bought a brand new car. I took care of that car. It was a Hyundai Elantra. You say, woo woo, a Hyundai Elantra. It was the sport model. You know what? I love that car though. It was great. We took good care of it. We did our best. Guess what? That Hyundai Elantra is no more today. You know, we can invest in so many earthly things, but they are not eternal. You think about it. How many things are eternal? Well, take a look here. Psalm 119. Look at verse 89. Notice what it says. God tells us, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8, we're told, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." You know what? This word not only shows us the keys to life, the main things we need to know, this word is eternal. It will last forever. Now think with me. How many things last forever? Can you name something tonight that will last forever? Anyone? What will last forever? A diamond lasts forever. Oh, don't believe those advertisements. No. I love it. Did you catch that, Paul? A diamond. Okay. Yes, a diamond lasts forever here. They are indestructible, they say, right? But, Brother Nagel, how about people? The souls of mankind will last forever. God's word will last forever. The only other thing I know, lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. These are the things that last for eternity. Other than that, you know, all the rest of this stuff, it's temporal. You know, you play Monopoly and you gather all the stuff. And what happens if you win the game of Monopoly? You conquer everyone. You have to clean up the mess, right? Everyone else has already left the table and you're left to clean up, right? But you know what? You conquer everyone and then it's done. It's just a game. And you know what? All this stuff we're going to leave behind. But God's word is going to last forever. People, the souls of mankind are going to last forever. Hey, whatever rewards we can lay up there, but the rest we're leaving behind. So how are we investing our time? How much are we investing in the Word of God? This book lasts forever. May we read it. May we memorize it. May we study it, meditate on it. This book is eternal. The next thing, it is powerful. The power of God's Word. Hebrews 4:12 says this, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of even the thoughts and the intentions or the intents of the heart." Think about how sharp God's word is, how powerful it is. Jeremiah says it's like a hammer. The word of God, the power of God that brings men under conviction through his word. Hey, it's here in God's word. This word is powerful. Look here in Psalm 119. Notice the power of this verse. Look at verse 9. Notice what it says here. It says, "Wherewithal, or how shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." God's word is so powerful. A person that is heading the wrong direction, how can he change? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. It's by taking heed to God's word, the power of God's word. It can change the total direction of a life. Folks, that is this book, the power of the word of God. Do we realize what we have in our hands here? The power of God's word. Next thing, how about the benefits? So it's the things we need to know for life. It's eternal. It's powerful. What about the benefits of this book? Do you know there are benefits promised to those who make much of this book? Look with me in Psalm 119 here. Go back to the first couple verses of this chapter. Notice what it says here. God tells us, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord, according to the word of God. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart." Did you catch that? Do you want to live a blessed life? Do you want to live a happy life? Is that what we want for our kids? Yes, we would all say yes. Who wouldn't want to, right? Notice what it says. Who lives a blessed life? The undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord, who live according to this word, this book. Hey, we can live a blessed life. We can live a happy life. Notice the next thing. Psalm 119, look at verse 105 here in this same chapter. Verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God's word will give us direction. Do you need direction? Do you need help? Are we confused at times? What should I do? Which way should I go? Yes, we all are. As a husband, do I need direction as a husband? How to love my wife? How to lead my family? Yes. Hey, God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Do I need direction as a parent, raising kids? Do I need direction how to handle relationships in life? Do I need direction how to spend my time, how to spend my money? What should I invest in? Hey, God's word is the answer. He has the answers. How to set my priorities. God will direct us and He will use His word to direct us. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You know, a light doesn't do you a lot of good though if it's sitting on the shelf. Am I in the word of God? You know, if I'm going to go out at night, a flashlight's a good thing to have in my hand. Take it off the shelf. Have it with me. Hey, let's make much of the Word of God. God will guide us. Two more here we want to look at. Look at verse 165. Psalm 119, 165. Incredible verse here. Notice this. "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Did you catch that? Great peace, not just peace, great peace have they that love thy law. You know, when we know God's word, when we understand God's word, when we love the word of God, what a difference it makes. Hey, in the midst of an election year, great peace have they that love thy law. As you hear the news changing from day to day, you know what? Great peace have they that love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. We live in a day where mental health, the problems with mental health are running rampant. I mean, it is a huge crisis in our country today. You know, back when I was a kid, we had health class. We never talked about mental health. We talked about food. We talked about nutrition. You know, we talked about first aid. Talked about kind of common sense, what to do if an earthquake happens, even though I lived in Indiana. We never had earthquakes. You know, you have all the important things there you cover. But we never talked about mental health. Nowadays, mental health is one of the hottest topics in any health class. In our school here, we cover mental health with kids. Since the pandemic, mental health, and just with all the confusion in the world out there today, taking away the absolutes. There is so much confusion. And our world's a mess. There are so many people so confused. Do you know what? If people just got back to the Word of God, we would have so few mental health problems. Hey, the answers are right here. Oh, that we were teaching all kids God's Word in school. You know, God has the answers. Great peace have they which love thy law. Wonderful truth there. One more. Take a look. Psalm 119. Look at verse 81. One more fact here about God's Word this evening. Meditate on this one with me. Look at verse 81. Notice what it says. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy Word. Think about that. My soul is fainting for my salvation. My soul is crying out, Lord, I need your deliverance. I need your help. My soul is fainting for thy salvation. Help me, Lord. I don't see. I am hurting. I'm in this crisis. I don't see answers right away. But notice he says, but I hope in thy Word. I will hope in your Word, in your promises that are in here, God. On the truth and what you say. Hey, that I can trust in you. That you have a purpose. That you are there. You will never leave us. I will hope in thy Word. When we come to the end of what we know or what we can do, when all we can say is, God, you said this. Please answer. Hey, I will hope in thy Word. What a wonderful, wonderful thought. You know, you think of some of the situations we're praying for tonight, big needs in folks' lives. Sometimes, you know, someone may ask us for help, for advice. Sometimes we may not have answers, but we know the God who does have the answer. And He can give grace, grace that is beyond our understanding. It doesn't make sense, but God's grace is sufficient. Isn't that wonderful? That's who our God is. What a wonderful verse. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy Word. The wonderful Word of God. So, and in conclusion, if we want our kids to be successful, if we want to be successful, what does God say? Hey, right here. You know, sure, education's good. Training's good. We want to train our kids with character. But all of that is right in line, right according to this book. Here is the key. This is what God says. This is what God told Joshua. This is what God tells us in Psalm 1. So as we consider this matter, let's think through some things. Just as parents, we want our kids to be successful. We want our kids to prosper. What are we emphasizing with our kids? You know, I coach soccer. I love soccer. You know, I love sports. Coach soccer, we had a game last night here. It was a thriller, 0-0. You say, what? No goals? It was a good match, but there was no scoring, 0-0. You know, soccer is a great opportunity with the kids, fun opportunity with the kids. Good lessons can be learned. But you know what? Soccer is just a tool. You know, rather than, which am I more concerned about, our boys being great soccer stars? Our boys knowing God and knowing His Word and spending time meditating on His Word. I hope soccer is a tool to point them to God through this. You see, what are we focusing on? Are we teaching them to read, to meditate, to obey? Are we teaching them at home? Are we putting them in church? Are we putting them under the influence of godly teachers? Let's think about the things we're pushing. Let's think about the things we're emphasizing. But folks, not just as parents tonight, as believers, realize the privilege we have to hold God's Word in our hand. Realize the privilege we have to open this book and to read. And sure, life is busy, but is this a priority in our lives? Are we feeding on God's Word daily? Are we living our lives based upon the Word of God? Are we trusting in Him through His Word? Let's step back and just make sure our lives are in line with what God says in His Word. And finally, you know, I don't know everyone here tonight. I don't know where you are in your journey and in life and where you are in your relationship with God. But we are all sinners. God tells us that clearly in His Word. And God is a holy God. But God loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son for our sin. I heard someone say once, well, great, well, then we're all saved and we're all on our way to heaven. Jesus died for everyone. Well, Jesus did die for everyone. But what does God's Word say? That whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We have to accept that gift. We have to place our faith and trust in Him. And whether you're listening online tonight or whether we're here, the Lord Jesus Christ is our only hope. And folks, if we can ever help, please come talk to us. We would love to have the opportunity to talk with you and share God's good news with you. Hope this has been an encouragement. I hope we're fired up. I hope we are ready to make much of God's Word here this week. Thank you for your good attention this evening. Why don't we go ahead and stand together and we will close in prayer. I know the teens are going to be going a little longer here. They have a party tonight, a back to school party. So I know they're excited for some food and such out there and a special time centered around God's Word. But take time to fellowship together. Let's close in prayer though as we go here this evening. Lord, we thank You so much for Your Word. What a privilege it is for us to hold this in our hands and to own a copy of Your Holy Word. Lord, we thank You for how You communicate Yourself to us through that. Lord, may we have wisdom as we make choices this week, as we set priorities. Lord, help our thinking. Help our thinking to be in line with You. Help us to carefully emphasize and prioritize the right things with our kids and in our own lives. Lord, may we have faith to believe You and take You at Your Word. Work in our hearts. Now bless our fellowship here following the service. Take us home safely. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.